How's that? Better? There we go. It's right on the edge of it, though. I can hear it just almost trying.
Let me double check those connections.
Whoa, that boy is tall. Is that the right one? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we sing these songs, but do we believe them? Do you believe that God is greater than anything? We talked about temptations last week, and you really believe that he can help you through temptations, and you know that you can be an overcomer and have victory in Christ Jesus, because that's what that song was about. He's greater than anything. He's the best thing that ever happened in my life, I have to say. And he changed me so much. If you knew me before, man, I had a bad, bad mouth on me, and I didn't care who I was around, whether where it was or anything. And God just, he took that away from me, and it happened really quick. And I'm so thankful that he changes us and molds us and works in our lives. But we were talking about temptations last week, and so we covered some of the things, like examples of some of the temptations of the people in the Bible. And we just to name a couple was Judas' temptation, Simon, how the disciples fell asleep when Jesus had asked them to pray, and he comes back and they're sleeping, you know, and stuff. And talked about Adam and Eve and stuff. And then we kind of focused on chapter 4 of Matthew 1 through 11, where Satan tempted Jesus. And he was trying to entice Jesus from the pathway that was set up for him of perfect obedience to the will of God. And in each of the temptations, Jesus submit himself to the authority of the Word of God rather than the desires of Satan. And it mentions like three times in that particular scriptures, in verse 4 and verse 7 and verse 10, it says it is written. So Jesus used scripture back at Satan and said it was also written, you know. And so what can we learn of this, what we talked about last week? One was that Satan is our enemy, and we need to be aware that we're engaged in a spiritual warfare with an unseen but real powers of evil. And we looked at Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, how our struggle, verse 12, was how our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We can't see all that going on, right? You take a drop of blood or a drop of water and you put it under a microscope and you see all kinds of stuff that you don't see with the naked eye. And my friend Russ over here is from Leavenworth, and he come over to see about hunting for a while, and you know, we go out in the field and we're like, does that one have horns on it? You know, because you can't see some of that stuff from, you get far away. But we're in this battle, and I don't think we like to think of it that way, because we kind of like to just ask Jesus in our heart and life and kind of cruise through life. But we're in a battle, and So we are fully equipped to defeat Satan's scheme. And that's one, I want us to know that. Some of us might know that. Some of us might struggle with that. But through faith in the blood of Christ, talks about in Revelations 12:11, and then our spiritual warfare, is by the Spirit, talks about it in Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, and our prayers in Matthew 6, 13. And it's so we can defeat him. We can be victorious in these things. We talked about resisting Satan and standing firm in the faith. It talks about in 1 Peter 5, 9. And 1 John 4, 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I think what Satan likes to do is keep you down, keep you from having the victory. He likes to have us, He likes to keep us defeated or feeling bad about ourselves and all that stuff. And yet, the Word says we can have victory. Sometimes we need to realize that God is greater than he who is in the world. And we need to use those scriptures against Satan. Without the Holy Spirit and the proper use of God's Word, us Christians can't really overcome some of those temptations. It's by the power of God that we can overcome. And so we talked about some suggestions, like realizing that through the Word we have power to resist and resist the appeal that Satan puts in front of us. And we need to learn how to live connected to the vine and the branches. And it talks about in John, we need to remain in Jesus, and his word needs to remain in us. And we need to ask whatever we wish, it'll be given us. We need to ask him for the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives so that we can overcome these different things. And we talked about in memorizing the Word, or letting the Word of God be engrafted in our hearts and minds. One of the things I want to mention today, later, is, and I'll mention it now, is it's what's in our heart, okay? It's what's happening in our heart, not just going through some motions. And we read 13 through 21 about, it's not, is God tempting me? For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he don't tempt anyone. But each person is tempted or dragged away by our own evil desires and enticed. And when that is and the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full-blown, gives birth to death. And we just need to realize these things, realize what's going on, and then move to make sure that doesn't happen. So we talked about engrafted. Engrafted means implanted, if you look at meaning of the word implanted. Must become part of our nature. We don't just read it. It's got to become part of us, okay? So we should meditate on it, and we should get it into ourselves, ponder it, meditate it, compare with other scriptures, and really get it in us. Russ, you amaze me sometimes at the scriptures that you can just quote. I know you've been a Christian ever since you were young, but I'll tell you, I have a hard time memorizing scripture. I said something last week about some scriptures, I write them in the back of my Bible where I can go find them and look them back up again, because I'm terrible at memorization. But I do meditate on stuff. When I read it, I think about it and I ponder it and I try to let it get in me. And I was sharing that I have read the whole New Testament except for Revelations really quickly, just in a while back, just in a few months. I just read. And I'll tell you, that really helped me. And another thing that I did, when I got done pastoring at Summit Valley, I don't know why, but I was impressed to just, well, I do know kind of why. Because I was struggling with why it just doesn't seem like churches to me line up with what the Word of God says to be doing. And I just started reading the book Acts over and over and over. And I was like, wow, I got a lot out of that by reading it over and over and over. So I've done that a lot more in my life more recently, and it's really helped me about like a college class. You get a test at the end of the quarter, you're expected to know all the material. And I'm like, well, how much more should I get the Word of God in me and know it, you know? They're doing it just to get a test score, you know? We're doing it because life and death, you know? Anyway, we talked a lot about memorizing and getting the Word of God in us. And get another page here. This study ended up being way bigger than I had expected it to be. And let's see, so we left off, I think was one of the things we brought out was recognize and obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit to obey God's word in Romans 8, 12 through 14. And that says, Romans 8, 12 through 14 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh, but to live according to talking about the word. Flesh, you will die, but if by the you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We need to learn how to live by the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us and help us through each day. And so then the next point I had there, I got my notes all kind of mixed up here. Where was that at? I can find it. Give me a second here. Not sure where that next point was. I got to write all this stuff out. Oh, here we go. I got to write it all out because my memory's gone. I don't know about you guys, but the older I get, the farther it leaves me. Anyway, so here it is. I remember now, too. So we brought up a lot of those points, and then the last one was surround these steps with prayer, okay? We need to learn, and I don't know about you guys, sometimes I get tired of going to prayer meetings. Because I shouldn't even tell you guys all this stuff, should I? Some of it. You go to prayer meeting, and everybody comes with their little list, and most of the time it's about being with somebody that's sick or somebody that got hurt or something. And I'm not saying those aren't good things, okay? Don't get me wrong. We need to pray about that stuff. The problem I see is we end up getting kind of focused on that. What about praying for the lost? What about praying for the alcoholic maybe that lives next door? Or what about praying about the harvest field and missionaries and the pastor and all these different things that seems to me kind of gets left out? And so Ephesians 6:18 says, you know, marked here somewhere, I think. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I found, even in my own life, I don't pray diligently enough or with intensity, and we are not just going through the motions. We need to pray for people that are sick and that stuff. But what about diligently praying and intensely praying about temptations that ourselves or others might be going through, or like some of the other things, for the lost? Praying about someone that maybe we don't know so well, because a lot of times we pray for those people that are sick because they're a friend or we know them really good and we can get really serious about it. But what about the scripture that talks about, I can't even tell you where it was, it just came to my mind, you know, where people were praying and they were like groaning, kind of almost. It was that heavy on their life. I'm like, can we really get down and pray? Remember, Jesus went off and prayed, and the disciples, he went a little farther than the disciples, and he'd left them there, told them to pray, and they went to sleep. You know, we need to not be asleep. We need to be praying hard and diligently and seriously about things. And one of the things I think, if you relate it to what we're talking about, temptations, is we can pray for one another and ourselves about when we are tempted. And we need to be able to be able to go beyond just praying for ourselves, you know, or praying just out of habit. This we, you know, we got prayer meeting tonight, so we just go show up, you know, and kind of go through the motions. Now I mixed my notes up pretty good here, so we'll see what happens here. Anyway, so moving on from there, moving on from there, so we can look at, if you look in the Word, you'll find people were, some of the about temptations. Some people were deceived, and we know that there's deceivers out there. After a little while, this is Matthew 26:73-74, where Peter disowns Jesus. It says, on 73 says, after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. If you remember that story, you know, then he went out and was wept because he was ashamed and sorry for what, that he didn't acknowledge Jesus. Stuff like that happens in our lives. We run into enticers that entice you to do this stuff. When I remember when I was a kid and I wasn't a Christian, but we'd go down to the river to pray, and I mean play, not pray, okay? We'd go down the river to play, And the kids I run and went around with, they were all, well, here, you know, we brought some cigarettes. Why don't y'all smoke these cigarettes and stuff? Or we'd take beer. We were like the eighth grade. We'd go camping and we'd get some beer from this one guy's back porch. They had beer stacked up all over the place, so we'd grab a few and take a camping with us. And what I'm saying, I guess, is that people can entice us to sin, and they can entice us to be tempted and do these wrong things. And we can, as Christians, you know, now that I'm older, I can see where those things, you know, kids just give each other a bad time and they try to talk you into doing this or that or whatever. And some of the kids I ran around with when I was young, I didn't get involved with. They got into high school, those same kids that were playing around at the river with me, and a bunch of them went and broke into a store and got in there and took a bunch of stuff. The problem was they came to school and started handing it out. The next thing they got caught, you know, but which was a good thing. But people entice us. And it says in Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. And I found it when I was young and down at the river with the cigarettes. I just had to keep telling them, no, I don't want to smoke. My dad had talked to me and he told me how he had smoked for all these years of his life. And he said, just not a good thing. He said, I've wanted to quit for years and I can't hardly seem to do it. And so I saw that was a good thing. I wasn't a Christian, but I saw that it was a good thing, and I just kept telling them no. Well, they finally quit asking. But another thing is seduced. 30 says this, even from your own number, talking about Christians, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Mark 13:22 says, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Unreal. But people will try to draw false prophets, you know, things that aren't good, aren't right. Another thing is evil companionship. If we run around with the wrong crowd, we're just asking for problems. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So you run around with the wrong crowd. You know, we tell our kids this stuff all the time, in maybe not a Christian situation, but what about us? If we run around with people that are all doing the wrong things, they're going to influence you, you know? Sorry, you guys, if you see me puffing and puffing. I've been having a problem with that lately. We're trying to get it checked out, but I'm kind of huffing and puffing up here today trying to get some air. But then another thing is, what about temptresses, women that tempt you? And obviously we have the sexual thing. For us guys are hard sometimes, but the scripture I'm thinking about there was Job's wife. And you know what she told him in that story? His wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you're talking like a foolish woman. Should we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. That's how we need to be. You know, we need to do that, not sin in what we say or do. So that brings us to kind of the important part. It talks about the promises to the tempted. And I think this is kind of the part we really need to be able to hear and understand. One of the promises is Luke 10:19, and it says, I have given you authority, this is Jesus, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Do us Christians take that to heart? It's telling us we can overcome. Telling us you can trample on it. You don't have to put up with this stuff. Do we claim the blood of Jesus? Do we talk back, you might say, and quote scripture when we're being tempted? We don't have to put up with this stuff. We are victorious over our enemy. And he tells us that we can have that. And I would encourage us to pay attention to that. So, I really mixed this thing up. I got more notes on this. This thing started out as a little thing, and it's like got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And this last week I made all these notes. So I went ahead, Teresa type it up for me. I didn't give her good enough instructions, I guess. And so it kind of got mixed up when I went to have her put it down on paper. Anyway, this part was supposed to come a little later. So we'll go back to, I want to read us Jesus' temptation. And starting at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and I'll read it here. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on the very word that comes from the mouth of God. So that it is written is brought out three times in these scriptures. Then the devil took him to the holy city and led him and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. See, the devil was trying to use the word of God against Jesus too. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Verse 8, again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels come and attended him. Have you ever said that when you're in the middle of a temptation? Away from me, Satan. That's a good time to claim the blood. I belong to Jesus. He died on the cross and shed his blood for me. Kind of time to say those kind of things when we get to that point in our lives. So Satan was trying to entice him to do what he wanted. But Jesus did the will of God. And he didn't. Can you imagine that kind of temptation where he says, I'll give you this whole thing. Of course, it wasn't even his to give, and he's trying to give it. But I'll give you, he says, I'll give you all this stuff. You'll be over all this, the whole world, everything. Just bow down and worship me. Sometimes we give in to things where we have temptation. Jesus said, I'm not going to do it. Get away from me. I only worship the Lord God and serve him only. We can do that too. Now if I can look through my mixed up notes and figure out where I'm at here, we'll move on. So there's something else here I wanted to do before I got to that. A few things about, okay, I'll just do this. So, the Hebrew meaning for Satan is accuser or adversary. He was a great angel, created perfect and good. He was appointed to be a minister at the throne of God. Yet before the world, he rebelled and became the chief antagonistic of God and now humanity. This is what it says in Ezekiel 28:12-15. And it's talking about Satan, is what most people say this scripture is about. It says, Son of man, take up a laminate concerning the king of Tyre, and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorns you. And it names a bunch of stones that I can't even pronounce some of them. And then it goes on, it says, your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. For so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till the wickedness was found in you. Man, can you imagine this? He was created perfect, pretty much. And now look what happened, and he fell. And now he tries to get us to fall away from our walking with God and trip us up in our walk and all this stuff. In his rebellion against God, Satan drew away a multiple of angels. I believe it was said one third. And they were exiled to the earth and the atmosphere within the sphere under God's permissive will. So you remember in the scripture about Lot, Satan had gone to God and said, well, what about your man Lot, you know? And God answered back, and then God allowed him to go tempt Lot. And then we see that Lot he overcame the temptation anyway. But I often think about that, and I'm like, man, he lost a lot. He lost his children. He lost everything he had. But yet in the end, God restored it all. I forget now how many times over, but it was a bunch. Satan called the serpent, who is the one who caused the fall of the human race. Satan's kingdom is a highly systemized empire of evil. So when we were in youth with a mission, they had a lesson on this. And it's like, so our state is divided up into counties, and they were shown, I don't remember the scriptures and all this, but you go different places, and there's like a different spirit in some of those places. And like you go into the Soviet Union or some of those other countries over there, like when we were with Youth with a Mission, we went into Czechoslovakia and Hungary and Belgium and a whole bunch of them. But those communist countries that we went into, you could feel a different spirit there. Stuff was different. And there's places you can see and go to where they have like maybe a spirit of heaviness, or maybe like in our area here, people are really independent. And I wonder if that isn't part of the spirit that might be over kind of this area, because we're so independent that it's almost a fallacy to us that it causes us some problems sometimes, I think. But anyway, it was an interesting lesson to see about that. Another thing is Jesus came to earth to destroy the works of Satan, establish the kingdom of God, and deliver us from Satan's dominion. And so when we pray, I think we can pray a lot deeper way than what a lot of us do. I'll tell you, if one of our kids gets sick or grandkids, I'll tell you, we can pray really hard and a lot and deep, and we cry out to God. Well, we need to do that same thing when we're tempted, or a lot of other times besides that. All right, let's see, where did I miss now? Oh yeah, we were on, I gotta go back to here, find it. We gotta get onto these promises that I started on. That one, okay. I gotta find them. I already got a mess. Okay, here we go. Here's some things that can encourage us in the midst of temptation. One is James 1:3. It says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So when that comes, that testing, see, sometimes God tests us, but other times Satan is tempting us. So, but when we go through the hard times, either way, we need to know that we can be just tested, and our faith produces perseverance. It can help us. James 1:12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And then 1 Corinthians 10:13, I'm not sure if we read this one earlier, but no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. So as we pray when we're tempted and those things, we need to be watching and expecting God's going to show us a way out of that situation that we can be victorious over it. Hebrews 2:18 says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. God is going to help you. Jesus is going to help you. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. But where are we going to look? Or are we going to fall into those temptations? And like when we're enticed, are we going to do what people are trying to talk us into doing? And that sort of thing. Where's my other page here? Okay. So, do you remember the scripture? This is almost like off the subject, but in the end it really isn't. You remember the scripture, Mark 7, 20 through 23? I'm going to turn to that. Mark, I think it's right here. Mark 7, 20 through 23. And it says this. It's talking about, they start out talking about washing your hands, okay? The Pharisees were talking about come to him, and they were like, we wash our hands before we eat. And then Jesus is talking about clean and unclean. But then when it gets down into it farther, turns out that it's a real good illustration. Okay, so 7:20. Where are we at here? 20 through 23, it goes like this. And he'd done the parable already, and then his disciples wanted him to tell them, explain to them about it. And so it goes like this. He went on, talks about what comes out of a mouth of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of a man's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a person unclean. It's talking about the heart. We need to guard our heart. And we need to realize where this stuff comes from. It comes from our heart. So what is the condition of our heart? Like I said earlier, the Lord tests people with the purpose of strengthening our faith. So sometimes those might look those might look like temptations, okay? But, so we just need to realize there's the tests that work out for the good that God's trying to work in you, and then there's the attempts of Satan, because he wants to undermine your faith, those temptations kind of thing. And so we want to guard our hearts. We need to be careful of our heart. And when bad language was coming out of me when I first became a Christian, it comes out of our heart. So how's your heart today? And what's the temptations you might be struggling with today? I thought that I had written down some scriptures that were some other encouraging scriptures. Maybe I covered them already. That were to do with about it, just encouraging with. Maybe I covered them already. I must have. Can't see them right here right now. So anyway, there's encouraging scriptures. I must have covered them already for us when we go through these temptations. And so let's just stop there and pray. But if you don't know Christ, the first thing we need is a changed heart. Okay? And if we all know the Lord, then we need to make sure that we guard our heart and be careful of it. And when we come to these temptations, we need to really listen to those and be able to meditate on those encouraging scriptures about overcoming and when we're going through it, and quote those to ourselves, because you'll help us through these things and we can have the victory. So let's pray. Lord, first of all, I pray that, Lord, I know that sometimes our hearts can get just hardened to your gospel. But Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that don't know you, the Lord, you would draw them close and that you would soften their heart and help them to see that they need you, Lord. Lord, you are the best thing that ever happened to me. And I pray that you would just work with, if there's anyone here that don't know you, Lord, and show them the way, just like you've shown most of us the way, Lord. But I pray for anyone here too today that's going through temptations of any kind, Lord. Sometimes they're great big things, but Lord, sometimes they're little tiny things that you want to change within us, and we just don't see it or don't get it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that you have our good in mind, and you want us to grow and mature in you, and you want us to change. Lord, I pray that you'd soften our hearts and help us if we're going through that to allow you to change us. And then, Lord, there's times when Satan comes along just like he did to Adam and Eve and just like he did to Jesus and many others in the Bible, and he tempts us, and sometimes it's in great big ways, but sometimes it's in little simple ways too, Lord, and we don't pay attention to it. But I pray, Lord, that even in those small temptations, that you'd help us to draw close to you. Help us to plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves and our families, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to really get the scriptures into our hearts, Lord, that you would bring them to remembrance. And that, Lord, you would give people, your people, victory over the sins in their lives and the things that are not right. Lord, I pray by the holy power of your Holy Spirit, you would just help us to listen and to hear your Holy Spirit as we walk through our life, and maybe people try to influence the wrong way, or we're enticed by certain things or deceived and things like that. You would give us a mind that could, you'd open our eyes to see and our ears to hear, and that, Lord, we would hear and we would say like Jesus did, that you're the only one, Lord. You're the one to worship. You're the one to follow. You're the one to obey. So, Lord, we thank you for our time together this morning. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All yours.